stand, and I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I would say it's a mighty big man that can admit that. Amen. That can admit that, Lord, I need you every day, every hour. Amen. I don't want to take another step without you. Amen. I don't want to go on without you. Because I know that I don't know the way. I can't make it. Amen. But we need him every day. What a revelation to have. Amen. What, would say, you know, like the song says, I thought I was a pretty big man, but what an admission, amen, to come to that realization and that revelation that, Lord, I need you. That's one of the greatest things that a man can come to, amen?
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. While you're standing tonight, we'd like to just turn to the book of Jeremiah, 17th chapter this morning, or this evening. I think we read this this morning, and we'd like to read it again to start us off here tonight. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody happy to be back tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We certainly appreciate the song specials, and we can praise through any trial, amen, amen. And that's how we get the victory, is by worshiping God through no matter what we're going through. And you know, when we come to church and we feel that it's hard, and sometimes we have to plow, like we say, maybe we don't feel like worshiping God. Amen. That's the time to do it. That's the time. That's what separates. Amen. You know, in the natural, we see people that are very successful, they're high performers, we would say, or they're achievers or overachievers. You know when they work the hardest? When it's hardest for them. When the going gets tough, right? You have those sayings, right? Well, that's the way a Christian is. When it's hardest to work, when you don't feel like worshiping, that's when it means the most. Because that's when it's a sacrifice of praise. Amen? When there's no reason natural in the world that you should be lifting your hands and giving glory to God, when there's not a reason that a person could point to, that's when you do it. And that's when it matters the most. Amen. And that's when God comes on the scene and he begins to move. Amen. He dwells in the praises of his people. Amen. Lord, forgive us for the times when we come dragging into church and we can't even lift our hands and begin to worship him. Amen. We must be a people of worship. This bride in the last day is characterized by worship, and by worship in truth. Amen. But worship nonetheless. It's not a dry-eyed, lecture type experience. It's not intellectual. Amen. It's heartfelt. And it's worship. Amen. So let's worship him tonight. Amen. Let's worship him in his word. Worship him by receiving his word. Amen. And not be a spectator. I will say this about my son. He's not a spectator. He doesn't have a spectator mentality about anything. Amen. No matter what it is, we take him anywhere. He says, me do it. You know, he wants to be part of whatever is going on. Amen. He wants to just enter right in and be part of it. And brother, sister, why can't we be like that tonight? We don't want to come to church and just sit around and be a spectator. Amen. Let's walk in this. Let's be part of this. There's a battle going on here tonight. Amen. Right now, the forces of good and evil are arrayed against each other. There's a battle going on right now in this place, in this room. Amen. And one side will prevail. Amen. And the side that prevails in your life is your choice to make. You choose what side is going to win. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. You choose. Amen. You say, I'm going to worship God. I don't care what happens. I don't care what the devil tries to tell me. I'm going to enter in. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment tonight. Amen. Amen. You begin to confess that in your heart and worship God and to pull on God. Then that's the side that's going to win tonight. Amen. Amen. Feel good now? Are we ready to have church? Yes. All right, amen. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Now I had to look that up because I had no idea what a heath was. Amen. Amen. A heath in the desert. I guess Brother John didn't either. Right. He's the one that said amen. But I didn't know what a heath was. But it's a salty, dry, infertile place. Only little scrubs of bushes grow there. Sticks that dry up and turn into tumbleweeds. And they call that a heath. And usually it's salty. Man, we've met people like that. Their life is a heath. Salty, dry, nothing grows there. Wind blown. Amen? Everything there wants to just poke you or stick you and... the wind blows anything away. That's the man that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. Can't even recognize good. Says one shall not even see when good cometh. Doesn't even recognize good or evil. But their life is a desolate wasteland. Amen. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Amen. And whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, and neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for your word. And Lord, for the opportunity to come here tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would destroy and tear down the works of the enemy, Lord, tonight. That you would tear down strongholds of doubt and unbelief, Lord. That you would do battle tonight, O God, and come into your people's hearts, Lord, and drive away spirits, Lord, that maybe have been oppressing them or trying to hold them down, to hold them back from taking their possession, to hold them back from entering into worship with you, Lord, to going behind the veil, Lord, and getting a cool drink of that everlasting water. Father, I pray that you would just bless them tonight, Lord. That you would move in this service in a mighty way, Father. Lord, that we would not just look upon this like just another Sunday night service, but we would look at it like it is, that it is a meeting with Almighty God. It's a conference with our Father. It's a time to come and to check up and to check in, Lord, and hear our name called, have the roll call of heaven, and stand up and say, I'm a believer and I'm here and I'm at my post of duty and I'm here to praise God. And I'm here to stand against the works of the enemy in this hour. Lord God, I pray that you just bless your people and bless this word. Lord, I just surrender myself to you, Lord, and pray that, Lord, that you would just have your way, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now this, what a contrast, amen, between a man who trusts in man and a man who trusts in God. Amen. We talked about the heath and the dryness and the parched saltiness of someone's life who's resting on flesh because that flesh will always fail. That word cursed, it really, you know, it kind of speaks to being miserable. Amen? Miserable if you're always looking for satisfaction with the flesh. Amen. You think about people that are always looking to leaders, politicians, and things to solve their problem. You talk about miserable. Talk about disappointed. I'm always amazed when people, you know, we have an election and whatever, and we have a new president, and then that politician doesn't match up with their promises, and people are disappointed. And I always want to just kind of slap them in the head. Right. Say, where have you been? You know? Well, did you really think that, you know, this time it was going to be different, right? This is the one. He's the one that's going to keep every promise and not tell us a single lie. And cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Amen. He's miserable and disappointed all the time. But blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord. And I love this imagery that Jeremiah, through the Holy Spirit, brings to us about a tree planted, amen, by waters. Amen. And did you know that I've been doing some reading and I've been researching some things, and this just came to me today because I've been reading about how they call it. I think they call it permascaping, right? Where they actually, there's things that they can do in the desert out here to enhance the landscape and to take advantage of the rainwater. Brother Merritt probably knows all about this, right? And there's things that you can do in the natural to create a different type of atmosphere. Now, this is spiritual. Amen? A tree brings an atmosphere. By planting a tree or having a tree grow up, a tree will actually create its own microclimate. Right? In other words, the little climate that's just around it. It can't change the whole climate, right? It can't change if it's planted in Tucson, it's still going to be Tucson, right? It's still going to have the climate of Tucson, but around that tree, it begins to create its own little climate. The more it draws water out of the ground, amen, and it begins to create leaves and shade, and that shade gives other opportunity for things to grow. It protects things from the wind, so the wind can't come and blow the soil, and it drops its leaves and begins to mulch the soil. And it produces fruit, and the animals come and they eat the fruit, and this whole thing is produced because a man trusted God. Amen. Amen. That's what the word says. A man that trusts God is like a tree like that. Amen. And when the hot winds of the desert and the drought may come, it's not worried about it because it gets its water from down deep. Amen. It's tapped into something. It doesn't worry about the winds of doctrine that blow through the church. It doesn't worry about winds of trials and storms of life. That doesn't shake it because it's anchored. Amen. And it's drawing from that water down deep. Amen. It's tapped into that everlasting well. Amen. Praise God. It's trusting that. Amen. Amen. It's not looking out to the current weather and, you know, okay, am we going to get rain today to get a drink? No, it's tapped in. Amen. Amen. It's connected to the source of life. Amen. A man that's connected to Christ, he's connected into the source of life. He doesn't look around to other things or people for that life. Amen. Amen. And so because of that, he doesn't have to be stingy with his fruit. Amen. He's got, he or she, right? That believer's got enough fruit for everybody. Come one, come all. Amen. Amen. Peace. Joy. Amen. Long suffering for everyone. Why? Because the tree is tapped in. That leaf shall be green. There shall be fellowship. That won't be worried in the year of drought. And it won't cease from yielding fruit. no matter what the external conditions are. Hallelujah. They'll worship even in the storm. Amen. They were playing that song at the beginning of service. Praise you in the storm. Why? We're not looking out there for our fulfillment in life. We're trusting the source. Amen. Amen. We're feeding on that and it's nourishing us. And we're growing like a tree planted by the water. Amen. Amen. So as a believer, we're trusting Christ and not the flesh. Is that right? But like we said this morning, we need to recognize when God is using flesh to speak to us. Amen. We saw this morning, we talked a little bit about how powerful trust is. This idea of trust can bind and strengthen relationships. Amen. And there's power in it. And we can accomplish things that we might not have been able to otherwise. Because trust, it's a powerful force. Amen. And in the spirit realm, it's the power and strength of the believer. It comes from relying on Him. It comes from leaning on Him. Amen? Trusting Him. And we saw how this is an action of faith. It's you know, faith without works is dead, right? And that trusting is an action. Leaning on Him, His action, it's our faith being exercised. Amen? That we rely totally on Him. So we want to continue that thought here tonight of trusting in Him and how we do that. Amen? And, you know, when we talk about faith, faith is a substance. Right? The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we're taught in the message that it's the sixth sense, right? It's the sense that allows us to contact God, right? We have our natural senses that contact the world around us, but faith is the sense that we use to contact God. Is that right? And it declares, faith declares to us, the unseen. So that we know that we know that we know that God's word is true. Because faith tells us that. Amen? Faith declares it to be so. Even when everything that our other senses tell us the opposite, faith declares what God's word said. Amen? Faith takes that word that's been given and grabs a hold of it. Amen? And doesn't let go. It's that power that holds on. It's the revelation of the word to us. Amen. Amen? Brother Branham said that it has strength. It has hair on its chest, right? It has power to hold on to God's word in spite of circumstances. So once faith takes a hold of a promise, then trust leans on the promise. Relies on the promise. Amen? Amen? Completely surrenders to it. Amen? You think about, we want to tonight just think about Abraham for a little bit as the father of the faith. And so we talk about Abraham's great faith. And Abraham's faith was great. And he walked all those years confessing and holding on to the promise of God. And the Bible says that it was imputed to him for righteousness because he believed God. Yes. That's his faith. Amen. And his faith, he walked in it and his faith became sight. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. He received the Son of promise. He received the promise that was made to him that all those years faith had declared was his. And then it happened. And he received him and he had him, his child Isaac, his son. Amen. Amen? Through every trial, all through the things with Ishmael and Egypt and all of those things that he went through, faith declared God's word was true. Amen. And he held on to it. Amen? over and over and over and over again. So he had walked by faith with God all of these years. God came on the scene time and time and time and time again. And he trusted God. Amen? After he received the promise, and the whole time when he was holding on to it, he rested in the promise and he trusted God. And what happened was, through all of those things that Abraham went through, he trusted the character of God. Amen? Amen? Yeah. You see, we're going to read here a couple of statements, but it came down to God testing Abraham. And he wasn't just testing his faith, he was testing his trust. Because he told him, take Isaac, take him up on a mountain and sacrifice him. Faith had given him the promise. But now his trust in the promise giver was being tested. Amen? Do you trust me, Abraham? He didn't explain it to him. He didn't tell him why he was doing it. Well, you see, later you're going to be a type. And it's going to speak of the Lamb of God. He didn't explain all that to him. He had to trust him. Let me read you this. The uncertain sound, he said. Abraham said, Lord. He said, back yonder when I was barren, I had nothing. I was a sinner and you made me something. You made me a promise and here it is. You give me this boy. I waited 25 years for him to come. And now 14 years later, why, here he is, a young man, the pride of his mother's heart. I slipped him out from the house. You see, because to keep, mother wouldn't understand it. This was Abraham's test. He says, listen to this, but I understand you, Lord. Amen. Did Abraham really understand what God was doing? No, not with his mind. He didn't understand why God was doing it, but he understood God. Amen. He understood his character. He understood that God was on his side, that he was his father, that God loved him, and that no matter what God asked him to do, it was best. That's what he understood. He says, but I understand you, Lord. I know your voice is true. You told me to offer him up to kill him, and you told me that through me I'd be the father of many nations through this boy. What, you'd take this boy, and when you made me the promise and cut those pieces of meat apart that day, and that little light, white light went between them, you made me a promise that according to this child here that you'd raise up your own son. Amen. You'd bring your own son, and through the seed of my son you'd bring your son, and he'd save the nations. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord. That's not my business. But I know the certainty of that. I know the certainty of your promise. I'm persuaded that I received him as one from the dead. And I'm fully persuaded that you're able to raise him up from the dead. By faith, you can raise him back again. And I'll take you at your word, Lord. Then from the Message Jehovah Jireh, it says, for he took little Isaac and turned him around, and bound his hands and his feet, laid him upon the rocks, moved his hair back from his face, pulled the knife out, held his little head back kind of in this manner, took the knife in his hand, raised it up toward heaven, looked up to God who gave him the promise, raised up his hand to stab his own son to death. And about that time, the Holy Spirit caught his hand and said, Abraham, Abraham, hold your peace. Wait a minute, Abraham, I see that you love me. And that you trust me. And about that time, a lamb bleated and hooked by his horns, a ram, a male sheep, hooked by his horns in the wilderness. It was Christ in the form of a sheep. He relied on God knowing what he was doing. He wasn't second guessing God. How many times do we second guess God? God, why'd you let this happen? Why is this going on in my life? Why? Right? Second guessing God. Lord, I don't understand. Abraham didn't understand either. He understood God. But he didn't know what he was, why he was doing that. But he knew God.
Right. Amen.
Amen? And he trusted him. He relied on God's character that he would fulfill his promise to him. That he wasn't going to go back on his promise. And that he was doing all things for the good of his children. Amen. What an expression of trust. Amen? One of the most outstanding expressions of trust in the scripture. So trusting God that knew he knew exactly what was best, that he was willing to do anything. I mean, that what he was willing to do is a horrible thing. Amen? He was willing to do anything because God's good. Brother, sister, God doesn't want to kill our children. Amen. He didn't want to kill Isaac.
Right.
It's the devil that wants to kill our children.
Right.
Amen. In fact, in those days, that's what the devil was doing.
Right.
Many false gods required child sacrifice.
Yeah.
That was the operation of the devil. And so, Abraham, how much do you trust me? Are you willing to do even that? That horrible thing that these false gods, the worshipers of these false gods are out there doing. Are you willing to bear that reproach? Abraham was willing to do whatever God wanted to do. Amen? But brother, sister, God is different than the devil. Amen?
Yes.
While the devil is out there trying to kill children, he's trying to take our children.
Right.
Amen? God is different. He himself provided the sacrifice.
Yes.
He himself provided the lamb that he would be our sacrifice. Amen? He provided a way that we could have life. Amen. That our children could have life, but we've got to commit them to him.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to trust him.
Amen.
That's one of the most beautiful things about this scene with Abraham is he entrusted his son to God. Lord, he's yours. You gave him to me. I give him back to you. We give our children back to God when we're, as parents, we dedicate them as babies. That's what we do, right? We give them back to God.
Amen.
Trusting him.
Right.
Lord, I have no clue what I'm doing here.
Right.
But you do.
Amen.
I trust you, Lord. Amen. Why not trust him when they get older, too? Hallelujah.
Amen.
That trust is built on a reliance of God's character. Amen. The more Abraham got to know God, all the things he went through, he knew God more and better and more in different situations, and he grew to know God. And he began to rely on God's character. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. So, we talked briefly this morning about trusting flesh. And so I want to continue that a little bit this evening. And we read that scripture there at the beginning where we're told not to trust flesh. Amen? Is that right? And the more that we trust flesh, whether it's our own or someone else's, the more we'll be disappointed. And like I said, you know, this morning it's like leaning up against something that can't bear your weight. It's like trying to put all your weight on a straw, right? That's leaning on flesh. It's not if it's going to break, it's when, right? It's not if flesh will fail, it's when and how badly and how much devastation goes with it because how many people were leaning on it. It will fail sooner or later. And yet God, in his wisdom, uses flesh.
Amen.
Amen. He uses flesh to speak through.
Amen.
And he uses flesh to minister to us. And he uses flesh to work with us. Amen? But yet, we're told not to lean on that flesh. So, an example of this is our Bible. Amen? The scripture that we have, we believe this is the Word of God. Yes. Right? This was written by men. Right? Not only was it written by men, but it was copied and transcribed faithfully by men. And it was translated into our language by men. So you have scribes, you have the prophets, the original men that were inspired to write it. You have scribes that transcribed it or copied it because they didn't have copy machines. I don't know if you know that. But they didn't have copy machines, right? So somebody had to, like, copy it, right? And so you have the original, and they have to match. It has to be perfect, right? Because it's like if you get a little off on this copy, the next copy will be a little more and a little more, right? Everyone has to be perfect down through thousands of years. And then it has to be translated because I don't know about you, but I don't speak Hebrew. Right, and so it went through all of the hands of men. But brother, sister, we rely on the scripture. We rest our soul on the Word of God. But we're not resting our soul on the works of scholars. Amen? I'm not trusting scholars tonight. Although, you know, it is helpful to know that there are many, many scholars that poured their lives out to make sure that the word is correct and translated correctly and all of those things. That's nice. I appreciate that. I believe that was the method God used to bring us his word. Amen. But my trust is in God. Yes. Amen. Amen. My trust is in his word or God's word because he has proven it over and over. Amen. Right? He's backed it up time and time and time and time again. So we're not leaning on the work of man. We're leaning on the work of God, but he used men to do it. Amen. But you see, that's a difference. There are some Christians who lean on the fact that smart men worked on this. Yeah. Right? They take rest and comfort in the scholarship behind the Bible. I'm thankful for it, but my confidence is in him. Amen. It's in the author. Amen? Yet the translators and the scholars was how God chose to do it. Amen? That's the way he chose to do it. That was God's provided way for us to receive his word. And if we reject that and say, why would God use men to write his word down? And we reject God's provided way? Think about what you're doing. Right. Right? You're rejecting what God sent to you. Right. All right. We can bring got everybody to agree and say amen on that. I guess we can go a little farther. Brother Branham said the hardest thing that God ever had to do was to get one mortal to believe another. Right? To realize that it's God speaking through flesh. Amen? Now, obviously, what he's not talking about is, like, literally for one man to believe another is telling him the truth. Right? Because people believe stuff all the time. All you have to do is look again at politicians or, you know, con artists. People believe them. Right? So that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is it's hard for God to get his word. Amen. To get a man to hear another man and recognize God speaking through him. To get one mortal to believe that I'm telling you the word of God. What I'm telling you is truth. Amen. That's what his whole ministry was about. Was God using him as a mouthpiece. Is that right? That God using man to speak. And it's not the flesh that has anything to do with it. It's God doing it. Is that right? So, and then the other side of that is to not get caught up on the flesh. To not get caught up in that, wow, look at what's coming out of that person that's speaking these things, and begin to lift up the flesh. Yep. Amen. Let's read a little quote here. This is from, "Whatever he says to you, do it." That's quite a title. "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now let me ask you, before we go on. Now he actually quotes this. I think this is why they gave it this title. But he actually says those words in this, on this tape, in this message. Now what do you think that was in context of? It was God using his voice. And he said, that wasn't me speaking to you. That was God speaking to you. And whatever he said to you, you do it. All right? Now listen to this. Now, on the platform, when the Holy Spirit is speaking, and he's speaking through mortal lips, he always does. I believe these are ministers behind me. And brethren, you never preached a sermon in your life, speaking to the ministers. You never preached a sermon in your life. The Holy Spirit preached through you a sermon. That's right, see? See, we don't preach. The Holy Spirit does the speaking. Right. Oh, we might write out something and read it, but that isn't preaching. Preaching is when inspiration comes. Amen. Amen. See, and it's preached by inspiration. And the Holy Spirit gives the unction. Now, we could just read something and it just doesn't matter. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of it and takes it out to the people, then something takes hold, see? Amen. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. He says, that's the Holy Spirit. Listen now, he says, that's not your pastor preaching. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit preaching in your pastor. Amen. Now to you, giving the message. Amen. Amen. Now remember, title of this sermon is, whatever he says to you, do it. Amen. God speaking through flesh. And brother, sister, I know that those of us in the message, we don't get hung up on that. Right? Otherwise, we wouldn't believe the message. I mean, we believe God uses flesh. We believe that God used his flesh and God spoke to this generation. Right? That's what we believe as message believers. But we believe that it was God speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking, not a man. But look, he's saying that about your pastor. Amen? Amen? The inspiration and anointing of the Holy Spirit does the speaking. Right. Why? It's the same God tonight. Right. It's the same God here in 2021 as was back then. Right. Amen? Amen? We recognize this and trust him every time we stand behind the pulpit. You have no idea what it's like to be facing the prospect of standing behind this desk. It's a leap of trust. Because you want God to speak. You don't want any of your flesh involved in it. And so that by itself seems like an impossible thing. But God does impossible things. And we trust him every time I can speak for, I guarantee you, Brother Eli feels the same way. Brother Doug feels the same way. Every time a minister comes up here to this pulpit Amen. They're trusting God. Oh, Lord, I don't know how this is going to come out. I don't know what's going to happen, Lord, but I'm trusting you. And Lord, I'm just going to let go, Lord. And Lord, you know, it's the old saying, Jesus, take the wheel, because you've got to run this thing. Amen. Amen. We need to recognize how God works. And that's what we're trusting in, is God working in his provided way. Amen. Amen. Now I got a couple more for you. Ready?
Yes.
This is for a testimony on the sea. Brother Juan's ready anyway.
Amen.
What we need is God only needs one man that he can get complete in his control. That's all he needs, brother. Christ is here. Now that doesn't mean that God only will speak through one man.
Right.
But that's all he needs. That's what he's looking for. Amen. There's power in that. Now, we understand, brother, sister, that God uses one man in a major prophet to speak to an age. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about day to day, right where we live now, God working in a many-membered body, right? That's all he needs, brother. Christ is here tonight. Don't be scared of it. It's Christ. When you come through this line, so he's getting ready to have a prayer line, just remember this, that it's Christ. He says, I'm going to stand the congregation up and pray for them, and I'm going to have my minister brothers here that believes in divine healing to come down. He says, many times a minister will come into the city and maybe got a lot more faith or do all the talking and all the praying for the sick and even baptize people. And then what happens? Then when the evangelist is gone, the poor pastor looks like he sat on the back row and was nothing. After all, that's your shepherd. That's the man who brought you this far. Trust him on. Wait a minute. Now, I've just been preaching to you about how we don't trust in flesh. And here's Brother Branham saying, trust the man that's brought you this far. Amen. We're right where we need to be here. Now, this is the next one. It says, we would see Jesus. And we are here tonight to pray with you and talk to you about the Word. These next three meetings, tomorrow night and Sunday afternoon. And I trust that you'll give me your undivided attention. And I'll stay nowhere but right in the pages of the book. And I don't preach doctrine out in the meetings. I'm out here to keep the message simple and to pray for all God's children. And the religious questions that you might have in your mind, I'd advise you to ask your pastor and not me. Because every man is leading his flock. And if he, the pastor, has led you safely this far, trust him the rest of the way. If he's brought you up to be filled with God's Spirit and living the life I trust that you're living, why, trust him the rest of the way.
Amen.
He'll be able to answer your questions.
Amen.
God's provided way. Amen? Now, brother, sister, if he could say this about men of God that probably didn't believe just like he did, how much more a pastor that wants to point you to every word that's of truth that's been revealed in this time? This is God's provided way to feed and provide for his flock. But we're not trusting in the man. We're trusting in God in the office in the man. It's God doing it. Amen. The master uses the frailty of human flesh to declare his word. Amen. To proclaim his presence. To speak to his children. To lead us on. I trust my pastor.
Right.
Amen. I trust. Let me say that again. I trust my pastor. Why? Because I trust the Holy Spirit in my pastor. Because the Holy Spirit has revealed to me that the Holy Spirit is leading my pastor. And so I trust God. I heard from God directly. I heard from the Holy Spirit in my heart, telling me that that's my pastor. Follow him.
Right.
Amen. So I'm trusting my soul to God,
right,
as he uses the office of my pastor,
sure,
to carry me through.
Right.
Don't get hung up on the man part.
Right.
We're trusting God.
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Right. Yes, sir. Good preaching.
You know, Moses had flesh problems,
yeah,
but he was God's prophet.
Sure was.
Amen? He stuttered. He had a temper.
Right.
He disobeyed God.
Right.
His flesh, amen?
Yeah.
But that was God leading Israel.
Sure.
Right. If you came out of Egypt, it is because you followed Moses.
Right.
Right? He used Moses for that task. And the words that he spoke through Moses was the word of God. We still read it today in our Bible. Amen. And one day, I mean, look, there were of course people on all sides of this thing, right? I mean, there were people that were so focused on Moses the man that they couldn't even see God speaking, right? There was Dathan and Korah, and you know them, right? They were, God speaks to us too.
Right?
Moses, you claim to speak for God, and I don't know about that, and I don't know that you're God's vindicated,
right,
prophet, and you're God's vindicated mouthpiece and all that. We understand that mindset.
Sure.
Amen? Of course, there will always be those. But look, one day Moses went up a mountain, and his time on earth ended. He wasn't with them anymore. But Israel went on. Because it was the pillar of fire leading Israel. Not Moses. The pillar of fire used Moses. For as long as it was God's will to use him. Right? And then when his time was done. And the pillar of fire didn't leave. The children of Israel kept going. If their eyes had been focused totally on Moses, they would have just continued to watch Moses.
Yeah.
Moses is still hasn't come down from that mountain. Right? In the meantime, the pillar of fire continues on. Joshua gets a commission, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Go on. Take Israel into the promised land. The pillar of fire goes on. He makes them all the promises, all the things. God begins to move in their midst and win great battles. But if their eyes were still on Moses, all of that's going on without them. They couldn't be trusting in Moses' flesh. They had to trust God.
Amen.
Because it was God that was leading them. They needed to trust God and not just Moses. You see what I'm saying? Amen. And because they trusted God, they saw and they heard God's voice speaking through Joshua. They recognized that's the same one. Wait, he was in this one over here, Moses. Now he's speaking to us through this one over here. Forget about the flesh, but it's the same one speaking. I'm hearing the voice now again. Praise the Lord. Amen. And by the way, Joshua never contradicted Moses. He took what God had spoken through Moses is what Joshua was fulfilling. Even though they couldn't see a way to do it, they were trusting the pillar of fire. They were trusting God. And Joshua led them in. Is that right?
Yes.
Brother, sister, this entire Gentile dispensation has been entrusted to Paul.
Yes.
Amen? Not his flesh. Amen. Not the Jew that, was out killing Christians. but the Holy Spirit working through Paul. So much so that he wrote the Word of God. Amen? He was entrusted with the entire Gentile dispensation. You say, well, wait a minute. We've had a mighty prophet in this age. Yes, but remember when he was translated and went up to the other side.
Amen?
And they began to tell him what was going to happen, and he found out that he was going to be judged for what he preached. Do you remember what he said? He asked, is Paul going to be judged too?
Amen.
Right? What about Paul? That was his question. Wasn't Peter, wasn't any other. What about Paul? And they said, yep. Right? He's going to be judged, and he's faithful and all of that, right? And what did Brother Branham say? That's great. Because I preached what Paul preached.
Right.
Amen? Amen? When it came to judgment of his ministry, I only preached what Paul preached.
Right.
Why? He was trusting what God had done through Paul. Not the man, Paul, not the guy with the bad eyesight and all the problems that he had, but God working through him. Brother Branham was resting on that. Think about it. Your ministry, you're going to be judged for what you preached. And that's what he was resting on. He had a revelation that God had spoken through Paul. That was God, the same one that was working in his ministry. The same one that was speaking things to him and showing him things and all the supernatural that happened in his life. And what was he resting on? That. Amen? And then what did everybody else scream out? We're resting on it too.
Amen.
He realized that it was God speaking to the church through Paul. And he rested his soul on that word.
Amen.
Amen. He trusted God. He trusted Paul. He trusted God in Paul. Amen. What about Jesus? The man of Jesus of Nazareth. Did you know that the Bible says that he was trusting God? Matthew 24:41. Likewise also the chief priests mocked him with the scribes and elders and said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. What was Jesus of Nazareth trusting in when he went through when he wrestled through that trial in the Garden of Gethsemane? What was his trust ultimately placed in? It was placed in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen? Now, brother, sister, what's interesting about this is that they said, if he trusts God, let him deliver him. Which is exactly what happened. If he will have him, he said, for I am the Son of God. And that's exactly what happened. It just happened 3 days later, right? He was trusting in the Word of God concerning him. He was resting on his revelation. He told his disciples that, you know, the Son of Man has to be lifted up and then 3 days. And he tells them what's going to happen. Why? Because he got a revelation that that was him and that the scripture was speaking about him. And he was resting on that. He was willing to go to the cross and die resting on that word. His trust resulted in the defeat of death, hell, and the grave. His trust in the Word of God concerning him proved the resurrection power, defeated Satan and all of hell, all of death, and raised him from the dead. And brother, sister, that's what we're trusting in tonight. Amen? We're trusting that if we go out tonight and die in a car accident, that we're going to be raised up again. There's power in that trust tonight. Because we don't worry. We're not concerned with it. We know that we've got eternal life. We're trusting that that resurrection power that was in Jesus is going to quicken our mortal bodies. That it's going to change this corruption into incorruption one day. And that we will be quickened and changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Unless we go by the way of the grave, then we'll be raised up incorruptible. Our lives are entrusted to that word. Our very life is trusting that. Amen? Amen. Jesus trusted that word. He relied on it. He was resting on it. That word concerning him. Oh, brother, sister, if we can just shut out the outside. Amen? And realize that our lives are hanging and held by the Word of God. Shut out the outside winds and trials and distractions. That was that vision that Brother Branham had of the bride when she was marching. Right? And what happened? They began to get out of line because they began to take their eye off the goal. And he had to scream out, "Stay in line." What was that about? It was stay steadfast with the word. Yes. Trusting in the word. Yes. Amen. That's your trust. Not looking to the left, to the right. Not getting hung up on the workings of the flesh. Amen. It's like I was in vision. My eyes are on my bridegroom, my Savior. And that's what I'm focused on. That's what I'm watching. And there are those that are pointing me to Him. Right? The messenger turned our hearts back to Him and pointed to Him. And when we begin to turn our gaze and we're looking on the one that's bringing you the news, the message. But He's pointing you somewhere. And then you look on the one that He's pointing you to. And then that one fades off the scene. And you say, "Thank you. Appreciate the message. Now I'm looking at Him. And He's the one that I'm gazing at. He's the one that I'm trusting in." And there are others come along and He uses others to speak to me. And they might be for a moment and pass off the scene and I just... thank you, but my eyes are on Him. Amen? And one might raise up in His name and fall and do all kinds of terrible things, but I'm not looking at that. I said, "Well, you know, that's what it is, but I'm looking at Him. My eyes are on Him. He's the one that I'm trusting, and I'm not trusting in any of those flesh vessels." Amen. But I'm watching Him, the one that my heart has been turned to. Brother Branham used the example of a guide, that you've got to stay right with the guide. Amen. Because He knows the way.
Right.
He's been there before. Yeah. He can get you in and out of places that you've never been. He knows the way.
Right.
But you've got to trust Him. If you're always trying to second guess the guide, you know, I love the example that Brother Doug always uses, and he always gets, it always cracks me up, really, how frustrated he gets when people try and walk in front of him that are supposed to be, he's supposed to be leading, right? And they're out in front. And you can see that it really gets under his skin. But it's true that what are you doing, right? You're walking in front of the guide. And you're asking from front, "Now, which way do we go?" Well, get behind the guide. And you'll find out, right? He's the one that you're trusting in. Then trust Him. There's nothing worse than somebody who's trying to second guess the professional. Right? You see that in all kinds of fields, you know. Oh, well, I go to the doctor, but the doctor told me this, and I know better. I know this, because I researched it. Well, why'd you even go? Right? Why even go to a professional if you're going to second guess the professional? Right? You go to the lawyer and tell him all about law and how he doesn't know anything about, you know, the law. You don't go to a doctor and tell him how wrong he is and how you know everything because you looked it up on Google. Right? And you tell him, you know, well, this is what the internet says. Well, are you going to listen to the doctor? Amen? Are you going to try and guide the guide? My, Lord help us. Amen. It's like somebody trying to pastor the pastor. Oh, that one hurt. Yes, sir. Who's leading here? Amen. It's not him. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Whew. Done gone. How's that saying go? That preacher quit preaching and done gone to meddling, right? That's the way it goes. Amen. Just a couple more here and then we'll close here for this evening. You know, one of the other examples I was thinking of the scripture when we think about trusting God. And I don't honestly know how this whole scene went, but you know, Peter walked out on the water. And Peter was pretty impetuous, right? I mean, you could see Peter just doing something without thinking. Right? So we don't know what Peter was thinking really. I mean, who knows, right? But look, here's the thing. Peter trusted Jesus. I mean, he was walking on the water. This is not something that people just went around and did. Right? But here he sees Jesus doing it. And he says, Lord, bid me come also. Now, you might think, well, that's pretty impulsive. But it also demonstrates a lot of trust. That he knew that, man, Jesus could do anything, man. And if he can walk on the water, he can make me walk on the water too. And he just jumped right out there and went for it. Right? And he trusted him. Brother, sister, we could kind of make fun of Peter for being so impulsive or whatever, but there's a lesson there. Amen? That we really shouldn't think through all the where's, try and figure out all the consequences. He didn't stop and think about, well, what if I do this and what if I do that? He never would have walked on the water. He simply trusted Jesus. He said, Lord, let me do it too. And Jesus didn't bat out. Come on. Right? What trust. He didn't try and figure it out. Lord, how in the world are you doing that? How can I do that? Nope. I trust you, Lord. Let me do it also. Amen? Leaning on him. Resting on him. Relying on him. Letting him figure it out. The Bible says some trust in chariots. Chariots are the technology of the day. They were the best of the best. If you had chariots, you had the best armies. Right? And so the Bible says some trust in that. Some trust in the best that man can come up with. Some trust in the latest technology. Some trust in the strength of armies. Some in horses. Amen? But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. No matter what may come, we trust him. He'll carry us through. Amen. I want to leave you with these two scriptures from Psalms and Proverbs. Psalm 40, verse 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, I like this, brother, sister, because he says, he put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. And when people hear this new song, They shall see it and it will cause them to trust in God. What would that song be? Amen. It's the song of our life. Your song, my song, the song of our life. It should bring people to trust in God. It should show, it should be a life and a song of us living. A life of reliance and complete surrender and rest in Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And then Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Amen. We are blessed tonight because the Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Our trust is not misplaced tonight. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Amen. He's got it all in control tonight. Amen. We can trust Him completely. Amen. We can know for an assurance tonight that He's going to work it all out. Amen. Amen. We can know that He's taken care of us. Amen. That we can rest in His grace and His mercy tonight. Amen. Do you love Him tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh, Father, I just thank You, Lord. Lord, that we can just trust You tonight, Lord. Lord, we can just lay everything else aside, Father, and just rest in Your goodness, Lord. Rest in the goodness of Your Word. Rest in the leadership of Your Holy Spirit. Even when evil spirits come and try and shake up our lives or shake up the church, they try and cast doubt or bring division in the church. Yet, Lord, we know we can trust You. We can trust that through the Holy Spirit, You're leading us and You're guiding us. Lord, that You've provided just what we have need of. Nothing is out of place, Lord. We don't have to be casting our eyes for greener pastures, Lord, looking to this church or that church saying, well, if only I was here, or only I was there, if only I was under this ministry. No, all we have to do is follow Your leadership, Lord, and trust You to take us through all the way. Lord, like Your prophet said, we trust in the offices, we trust in the pastor, we trust in what You've provided, we trust in the ones that have gone before, Lord, because we know it's You doing that. It's You speaking to us. It's You leading and guiding Your people through the office of man. We're not relying on flesh tonight, Lord, we're relying on You. And Lord, we're grateful tonight. We're grateful that we can hear Your voice.
Amen.
Lord, as Israel was able to see that the pillar of fire, they could physically see that pillar of fire. They could see Moses go up, and then, Lord, You continue to lead them through Joshua. Lord, in this day, we hear Your voice. We know the one that Your prophet was speaking of, and it's You, Lord. We heard Your voice speaking through Him, and we still hear Your voice speaking through Your Word tonight. Lord, You've never left, You've never forsaken us, and we know that You'll take us all the way. We thank You for it, Father. Lord, just in this little time, Lord, as we come to the end of the services today, Lord, I wonder if there would be someone here tonight who's struggling with trusting You, Lord. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe they've been damaged by man or by flesh, by the church, by a preacher. It doesn't matter what it is. Lord, they've been failed. But Lord, we know they haven't been failed by You. Father, I just pray if there would be one in that condition tonight that they would just lift up their hands to You, Lord, and surrender and say, Lord, I know that You've never forsaken me, that You've never failed and You never will. Help them, Father. I pray that You would just restore unto them the ability to trust You and, Lord, every way that You work, to be able to hear Your voice and to rest and just rely, oh God, on You. Lord, I thank You, Father. I thank You that we have such a sure word tonight. Bless your people, Lord. Bless those that raise their hands tonight, Lord. I pray that you would just be with them, Lord, and help them break the chains of the enemy tonight. The enemy tries to bring mistrust and tries to anoint us with that distrust that he's anointing this entire land with. He tries to bring division and to cast doubt. But Lord, I pray that you would just bind the enemy from doing that in our midst, Lord. That you would deliver, Lord God, and you would drive away that fear and doubt that comes from that anointing tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We can worship him tonight. Amen. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our trust tonight. He's worthy of all of our adoration. Amen. Amen. Let's not leave without thanking him tonight. Amen. Let's not leave without meeting with him and hearing him speak back to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, he's got it all in control. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. He's got it all in control. That reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all. Let's sing it to him. You've got it all in control tonight, Lord. You've got it all. I worship you, Lord, because you've got my life in your hands. You've got it all. You've got it all in control. In his hands tonight, I put my life in his hands. Amen. You can trust him with your life tonight. In his hands. So every road I walk down, I'm sure is in his plan. 'Cause I put my life in.